We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, it's Flo with a super weird word, nightgown. If you ask me, it sounds less like clothes you wear to bed and more like things you say to your clothes. Good night, capri pants, sleep tight sweaters, nightgown. We've got a big day tomorrow. Now a weird word I just made up, flotection. It sounds like great protection for your new home through me and Progressive, and that's because it is. I said good night, capri pants, go to sleep.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This is with Giancarlo Nava and Ryan Goins.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Nava. And with me today, we have producer and co-founder.
I'm not in Miami anymore. I miss it.
No more echoes. You know, we're good. We're in different rooms. Like, now we're comfortable with. But it's funny because before we were uncomfortable with doing the show remotely, and now it's weird doing the show in person with
you. I was uncomfortable hearing you scream.
Yeah, well, yeah, you got it firsthand. We have our professional screw-up, Mr. Alex Toledo, who surprisingly has been on a run of being good on shows.
That's what I do, baby.
No, you don't.
Gotta put those expectations down.
We have our Heat Beat insider, Mr. Lefty Leif.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you, sir?
Very good.
And we have our Photoshopper slash anime expert, Mr. Brass Jazz.
What's up, guys?
How are you?
Good.
I thought you were going to say, nah, man, that's not my thing.
Man, yeah, I should have. I missed that one.
We have a lot to talk about today. Later in the show, I'm going to get into my beef with Brian and why I'm mad at him. I don't know if Brian knows why I'm mad at him. We're going to get into a new segment. I have changed perspective on the Kelly Olynyk contract. We'll get into that later. I do want to start with kind of knee-jerky reactions that I thought that we were kind of over this. And to be honest with you, I thought that we as Heat Beat were a little bit better than that. And Alex, you were on the show with me. When Bam got drafted, do you remember the reaction that we had and the reaction that Twitter was having?
Man, it was kind of bad, but it was kind of that wasn't surprising at all to me. People had like the two guys that they wanted, and Bam was supposed to be a late lottery pick, according to mock drafts. So I wasn't surprised that everybody reacted badly.
I'm talking about just the way, like, if you remember, Nikias was like, I don't understand what's going on. This makes no sense. Nikias is like the super sanity guy, right? And then we have Jack Alfonso came on the show, and he was kind of trashing the pick a little bit. Like, he was really confused, and we were on the show like, okay, you know, they might get one of those bigs that shoot. Like, and it didn't take us all of 2 days to talk us one highlight video of Bam shooting threes.
Oh, that night.
Yeah, that night. Like, we talked
that night.
Like, Brass, no, we talked ourselves into that fast.
I remember
that's what we do.
I remember Lave tweeted saying that he thought that the pick was gonna be traded, and we automatically assumed that.
Yeah. And we're like, oh, Lave said it's gonna be traded. Yeah. So we talked ourselves into that pick, and I bet you, Brian. We should do a poll. I bet you, if you poll Heat fans, they think that he's gonna make an all rookie team. I bet you anything.
I'll do it right now.
Because I think, yeah, do it. Just do it. Because, like, I find that funny how reactionary everything was around his pick. Because I don't know how much you... I know, Brass, you haven't seen that much of Summer League. And, Brian, I don't think you have either. But, like, the little that I've seen, he looks skilled enough that he looks like he can really contribute. But he's also kind of clumsy. Like, he turns the ball over a lot. So he's going to be a rookie. He's 19 years old, which I didn't know he was that young. So... I just find it funny how reactionary we still are. I thought we'd learn, right, after the LeBron years, right, Brass? Like, that we learned not to be this way. But apparently, no.
I don't know. We learned to be brats from that old era. No, but the thing is, with the draft night, no matter if, unless that pick was getting traded, there was Riley Walsh talk all over the place. It didn't really matter. It's at 14, there was no one that was there that was going to be that people were going to be like thrilled about.
I think if they got Mitchell, I think people wanted him.
Yeah, that's fine.
That has nothing to do with him. Just like Justice falling to him has nothing to do with him. Mitchell not falling to him has nothing to do with him. You know what I mean? Like, I that's why, like, I feel like it was ridiculous when we praised him for getting Justice and then, you know, people online killing him for the Bam pick as it happened. You know, I find that funny. The juxtaposition of that funny. Like, people are not, like, when they're either critical or supportive of Riley, they're not consistent in what they're criticizing.
That's Twitter, though. Twitter kind of begs a quick reaction. You can't just say, oh, look, he picked Bam. It kind of begs for takes, you know.
I want them retweets, yo. I want them likes. I want them retweets. Feed me.
I was nervous though when someone like Nikias was like, "What is this?"
Me too. Yeah.
That, like, freaked me out.
Because, you know, he's the voice. Like, Nikias is the voice of reason. He's like the level-headed guy. He's, you know, he's perspective. And he was like, "I don't know what they're doing. I have no idea what they're doing." And I'm like, "Oh god,
better than us."
Yeah, I don't know any of these college guys. I don't watch college basketball. So Nikias is trashing the pick. I'm like, "Oh no." What's going on? I kind of brought that up to say, because last show where we had Clay Ferrano on, I basically yelled for an hour. I yelled about Kelly Olynyk. And while I'm not happy about Kelly Olynyk, and Leif, I think that you are the one that can speak most of this, I kind of get what they're doing now. They signed 4-year deals to guys to remain competitive so that in 4 years, they're going to have a lot of cap space because Hassan's going to be off the books and Goran's going to be off the books and Giannis and other guys like that are going to be free agents. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of the LeBron run, like where the run that they made at LeBron and Bosch, where they were around. Like, I think that this year's team is going to be comparable in record to the 09 through 2010 team, or the 08 through 2010 team, right? Like, four seed in the East, competitive, you know, in it every night, you know, never really has a high lottery pick or a lottery pick in general for that matter, but it's competitive. And then you make a run at a big free agent when you clear all your cap. And I just think, is Riley going to be around for that long? And am I on base thinking this? Like, he was very meticulous. And I think the 4 years in context, I think it makes sense because they're all on 4-year deals and they're all going to expire, and Goran's going to be expired and Hassan's going to be gone by then too. So, and TJ.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things going on there. One, we're in the Eastern Conference. So at any moment, the perennial favorite could crumble. Like, that's just you have to kind of work with that expectation that right now, in the next year to 2 years, 3 years, there's a window of opportunity to be a top team in the East. Like, that doesn't look like it's hard to fathom. As far as the contracts, I feel like when you look at the way that the payroll breaks down over the next few years, this was really the summer that they had to capitalize on flexibility. It had to be in some way they had to capitalize on the flexibility that they had by Bosch's deal coming off the books. If you look at, summers out, it would have been more and more difficult to have this much flexibility. So they continue to meet with the top guys, free agent wise, and try to hit home runs. So you still see that philosophy of go big or go home is still alive to some degree. But I think that eventually you have to realize that maybe those top tier guys are not going to, like next year, if you don't have the flexibility and you have had these guys turn you down year after year, I think that what they kind of are looking at is, let's bring back these young guys to reasonable contracts, and let's try to make them ascend. Like, let's get the most out of them. They'll either be attractive trade chips on relatively good contracts in this NBA economy, and you wait and you see if a star becomes available. All of a sudden, if a John Wall becomes available, you have a Brian Grant, Caron Butler, Lamar Odom package to put together. And that was just like an example. John Wall, I use him because Scriba, wants him on the Heat so badly, obviously by his Twitter profile. So they have the contracts to match up to trade for a max deal. You don't have the pick, so you might as well be competitive. And one LeBron goes to LA summer away from being able to take a shot in the East.
Honestly, Leif, I kind of sitting on it, like, I totally agree with everything you're saying, and it makes perfect rational sense. The only criticism that I can lob is that if that's, and I guess it's difficult because if they're sitting on these deals hoping to trade, then something like Goran and Hassan you want to keep instead of flipping them for picks. Because like I kind of think waiting out this LeBron stuff is probably for the best, and more so the Golden State stuff, like kind of waiting it out and then developing young guys like Justice and all that, and then moving them. Justice could be part of any package that they put together if it's for a superstar. So like, but again, the only thing I can be critical of is the not acquiring of picks, just because it's easy to attack that greases the wheels for those kinds of trades so much. You saw what Oklahoma City got Paul George for. They got him for Oladipo and Sabonis. You know what I mean? Like, they got him for nothing. Like, if a team was willing to give picks, I'm sure that Paul George could have been theirs. Boston, we know, was unwilling. So that's the only thing that
didn't the Lakers like offer them a better package with two first round picks and Jordan Clarkson?
And that doesn't make any sense if that's true, Alex.
But
that was reported for like a week that they were offering the 28, the 29, and Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, but we know how those reports go. It's teams lying to Woj or
maybe.
But like, that doesn't make sense. Like, if two first round picks were offered and they took Oladipo, either Indiana is this sort of massive incompetence that Sacramento would be jealous of, or that's not true. Which it could be true.
Apparently the Knicks were jealous of it. They just hired a Sacramento executive. I mean,
he had a good summer. He did have a good summer.
They did? Yeah, they did it.
They did? But the pick situation, if the Heat aren't planning on being a bad team right now, since they owe picks elsewhere, you might as well be as competitive as possible and maybe even take a shot in the E, a move or two away from being able to get to the finals again. I mean, exactly. That may sound ridiculous, but if a couple guys ascend and then you make one move and a mid-level signing, all of a sudden, if LeBron's in L.A., well, I mean, what the path in the East is open. So
that's why I can't even wrap my head around how bad Brooklyn was this year, because they had no incentive to be bad.
But they, in their defense, they had a lot of injuries. And when they were healthy, they were not as bad as their record was. They had a stretch where they got healthy and they were not the worst team in the league when they were healthy. Yeah. They did have like massive injuries. So, in the meager defense of the Brooklyn Nets, that job in Brooklyn has to be one of the worst jobs in recent memory.
Like, Sean Marks is doing. I mean, people are talking about him like he's doing a good job.
I mean, what got them in that position? Training.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Like that. Like, who was that? Was King? Was it? What was the guy?
Bobby Marks had something to do with that. The guy who now is writing and doing the stuff for, I think, the Vertical or ESPN.
ESPN now. Yeah.
Bobby Marks.
Yeah. He had Bobby like a Marks key hand in that. Every time he goes on the radio, they bring it up.
System reporter Bobby Marks.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, Woj,
bad system apparently.
Woj, listen, Woj is a system reporter. When are we gonna? We haven't talked about like Woj. Who's this Shams guy? Who is Shams? Why is he so good at reporting?
That's Woj's protege. Like, he groomed him to be this. Like, you think Woj wants to just break stories his whole life? Like, he's trying to, like, build an empire.
So is Woj Tim Duncan? And this guy's Kawhi?
Yes.
Kind of.
Like, dude, Shams is out here breaking stories and beating Woj, and it's like, whoa, reporter wars.
That kind My of favorite. He's like the Spo to Woj's Riley.
My favorite thing's all the memes of him dunking over him.
Oh, those are so funny. The internet never fails. And I'm glad that we brought up Shams because we have, like, last show we didn't bring up Gordon Hayward at all. What a crazy day that was. I know we're really late on this, but that's heapy, dude. We cover things late. I was at LAX coming back from an anime convention, just sitting down at the airport.
Of course.
Glued. I have to give that detail. People around me in cosplay glued to my phone. Some people flew in cosplay. It was odd. I don't understand.
Tentacles.
Yeah, that day I checked Twitter an unhealthy amount of times.
No,
it was bad.
I kept refreshing.
Same here.
I felt so alive. It reminded me of what it was like when LeBron was leaving. Do you remember? Like, I remember those times. You could not separate me. I was so unproductive at work.
You know what's the insanity, though, is that I have notifications on for all, like, the guys who would break it, like, the information, but yet I still need to go and refresh the timeline, even though the notifications are set. That's insanity.
Because you know what it is, like? Because it's, like, those, like, offhanded rumors that aren't verified, but, like, that we feed on. Like, that Vegas guy in the morning saying, oh, you know, he's going to Boston. And he sort of gave up. Did you see that? We gave up.
That was like one of the things I messaged in the morning was, I think he's going to Boston, gut feeling, like, because you just see that. You're like, another one.
I love when random people report something. It's like, then people start digging up tweets. Oh, dude, this guy had KD to Golden State. But then some guy's like, no, but he had so-and-so to Boston last year, too. So that doesn't, you know. Like, the community around free agency is so funny. And it's almost more like, man, that day was more fun than a lot of playoff evenings.
I agree.
You're right.
Yeah, no, just, for sure.
What, like, the drama, the story. And then when Hayward.
The heartbreak.
When they're like, that guy on ESPN, what was his name, Brian? I want to credit
Chris
him.
Chris Haynes.
Huh? Haynes.
Chris.
Haynes reports that. Could you imagine Haynes? Like, Haynes breaks that, and then Woj is like, Haynes is like, throws his phone on the floor. You gotta be kidding me.
He gets character assassinated for like 3 hours while this gets sorted out.
We fired him. Like, everyone on Twitter is like, oh, Chris Haynes is totally losing his job. And Chris Haynes did not tweet a thing after
that.
Dude, I'd be so man.
Like, his next tweet was Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. It was such a great use of Twitter.
Because Hayward didn't write his article in time.
Okay, see, and then that I love NBA conspiracy theory. Like that one's like that's gonna be one of the.
Well, but honestly, what do you think was the reason? Do we believe it was because he didn't let Utah know first or something? I mean, no, I believe that
maybe. He was
had to have been a Players Tribune issue.
No, man. At that point, you just
think so?
Like, it makes so much sense, but I don't think Hayward or the people around him can be that stupid to know what the public like.
Hayward's stupid.
LeBron happened. Like, we saw the vitriol that happened to LeBron. If he was indeed going to go back to Boston, like, at that point, you just let it ride. You know what I mean? And like, Any backlash is so much worse after the fact than if you just wrote it out. You know what I mean? And I just have to think that no one on that team or whatever, like, could be that dumb. Because we all knew it. Like,
one of the publications, I think, out in Utah got the agent, Mark Bartlestein, or however you say his last name, and kind of went through the events of the day, and they said that they had eliminated Miami the night before, and it was down to Boston and Utah. He had three drafts of the letter, and he was coming to his final decision, and then it leaked that it was Boston, and he had not made that decision yet, which is total BS. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of think Boston was probably a shoe-in long before any of these reports came out. And then, you know, he wanted to do it his way, and the Utah, you know, notifying all the teams and all that BS.
I believe that he had three drafts of the letter. Because how could you be so dumb and not? You know what I mean? Because, like, I think...
I think he maybe had two.
Okay, fine. What a...
They said he had one for Miami, but if he was eliminated the night before, what a waste of time.
To write that.
Yeah, I think he's more likely to have had one for Miami than to have one for Utah. I think he knew Utah was done.
I agree.
No, but see, you know, I probably would have agreed with you, Brass. I think most all just to get out of the conference. But somebody reported that Utah was in contact with the agent asking him, what does Gordon want to hear? So
they said that Gobert said that the meeting with Hayward was really awkward, and he could tell that, you know, he was kind of disconnected and not engaged in what was being talked about.
Was
so
Gobert saying we got blindsided? I mean, pick a story, dude.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, come on. Like, I don't want to hear what he has to say. He
talks too much. Yeah. Hassan is better than him.
Hassan's better than talking.
Tell Nikias I said it.
I don't think Hassan's better than him, but I think Hassan's better at talking than him.
Wow.
I think
wow, that's a low bar.
No, I mean, like, in terms of being funny.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Hassan's funny.
Hassan's great. Like, I love that guy.
Listen, we could say a lot of things about Hassan. Hassan is hilarious. And Hassan looks like a lot of fun to be around.
I've warmed up to him a lot. It really sucks to be blocked by him on Twitter. That one hurts. I periodically, like, will click on his profile and check if I got unblocked. Like, nope. All right.
Please.
It's been rehashed a million times, but what did it? Do you know?
He searches his own name, because I never would add him directly.
Oh, like Adam Smoot.
He searched his own name, and I said I made a bunch of disparaging remarks about him when he was sulking. And, you know, I've asked, like, every local media member and Heat employees to, like, ask him to unblock me, and he just says, nope.
Oh, they asked? Like,
yeah, I've gotten a few people to ask him, and he declined. No, I have not got to him yet. I will, though.
And then that's Veronica.
Get him on the phone. Let's get him on the phone.
And then that's Veronica, because she's important now.
Ha.
Listen, you know, I'm gonna do something nice. Follow at Veronica Quispe. Veronica, V-E-R-O-N-I-K-A _ Q-U-I-S-P-E. She feels self-important because she's a credentialed media member for the Miami Herald. She manages the online content. So give her a follow. She is sometimes amusing, although most of the time a pretty awful person. So word to Veronica. And she listens to the show.
Tyronica's better.
Facts.
You know what, Brass? So I have another account where I tweet anime, and, you know, sometimes they give me.
You do?
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that.
I like that account better. and it says requested, like, recommended follows, and, like, Tyke is always there.
It's always there. And that's beautiful.
I don't follow him just because I like to see it there. Because I just go, and I go, Tyke. You know. My sister doesn't understand the Tyke thing.
I don't either.
This is like so that. Inside. Is any of our listeners going to know what Tyke is? Ugh, who cares?
No.
Yeah. No, definitely not.
Really, yeah. No,
but more
still,
people know
I
about that than
really
the deep web.
It.
The deep web. Oh. Tweet us if you know about the deep web.
Now let's move on. I didn't mean to bring that up.
103.
Let's keep talking about Hassan and him blocking people.
Yeah. Well, you know, Hassan, it's funny because Hassan went from popular, right? Like, when Hassan wasn't... You guys remember when Hassan wasn't playing a lot and everyone was like, come on, Spo, you gotta put him in, you gotta start him. And, like, yeah, like, he came off the bench in a Memphis game at home and he was awesome, and then this, you know, the Clipper game. And then Hassan went from, like, really popular, like, people wanted to play him more, to then him sulking and him being unpopular and us calling him names and then us calling him stupid, to, like, popular again. Like, he's come back because he's funny and he's Hassan.
it was kind of like one of those things where he came out of nowhere and you're like, yes, this is awesome. He's amazing. And then you're like, wait, we have to pay him $22 million. No,
how much?
I don't want to do this. All right, we did it. Now I got to figure out how I'm going to like him.
I thought Levitard put it best, that the heater dating the stripper. You know, like, it's not, you know, Hassan is not what they were. Because, like, even Dwayne, like, and Dwayne was a, like, Dwayne was a bit larger than life, but Dwayne was not difficult. You know what I mean? Like, Dwayne was not someone that I feel like the organization, for the most part, felt was unreasonable or would misbehave, or, like, he would say something that would get, like, somebody in trouble. Like, I feel like they're scared about Hassan doing.
I feel like Hassan's a little easier for them to deal with in the sense, like,
Well, that
is certainly true, but also, like, with, you know, the influence of LeBron and all that kind of stuff, you get all these guys with these hidden agendas and stuff. And I feel like Hassan is, like, on the surface. Like, what's coming out of his mouth is what's in his head. Yeah, and that's like it. He can't have two thoughts at the same time.
You know, something interesting about Dwayne leaving that I've realized lately is, like, I think Heat fans are always, you know, organized first, but Dwayne kind of was, in a way, above the organization in the eyes of fans. And now that he's gone, no one is. Not even Udonis. Because I honestly think if Udonis does not stay, like, I know Leif is going to be, like, really upset, and I'm going to be upset, and, like we're going to be sad. But for the most part, the fan base is going to get over it in, like, 3 days.
Wade leaving is going to be harder than Udonis's. I still believe that. And it sucks that it all went down like it did, but I feel nothing now.
I'm over the Wade situation.
I feel
and
nothing.
You know, the funny thing about going through the LeBron situation is I feel like it, like, made us a little callous, and then the Wade situation comes and it's, like, heartbreaking. But now it's like Udonis, although it would hurt, there's also, like, a portion of us that's like, all right, we've been through this before.
Yeah, and he doesn't play. He doesn't play. So, I mean,
it's not as vital of an on-court thing. You're right.
And we're forgetting that Dwayne left coming off the Purple Shirt Guy game. He left coming off us still remembering, like, this guy's special. Like, this guy.
He was still having iconic games.
Like, it was one of the best playoff performances.
Like, we're going to remember that. Like, I think we
amazing. Will.
Of course.
We're talking to our grandkids or whatever, and we're going to, if they ask us about Dwayne Wade, like, I'm sure that that's part of the story.
Like, Al's story.
Huh?
Yeah.
Al's story. Remember the sunbonding moment of him, Magic Johnson?
Oh, yeah, and it was for that game, I think, too.
Yep. Yes. It'll be like the last playoff run of his first Heat tenure, and then we'll have also another chapter of this deal later on this season.
Last good playoff run he's ever had.
You know, if we don't get UD back, I am absolutely fine with Wade taking his spot on the bench.
But, like, saving the room exception for him.
The thing about no, but, like, hold on. If that's gonna be a thing, UD kind of has to stay, right? Like, I don't think it was Dwayne.
Yeah, UD's gonna stay. Don't panic. Like, he's gonna stay.
It's bizarre, man. This is it's the 13th. What's happening? It's weird to me, man. I'm not sure.
Hasn't this happened every time he's a free agent?
He was out of town, like, all last week, and they'll get some figured out.
Every reporter I've asked, Chang, Ethan has said this last year. Every reporter, Barry, every reporter that you ask, they'll say the same thing. And I think Udonis has gone out of his way to make it clear. He still thinks that he deserves to play, but he'll be a good soldier. But he still thinks he deserves to play.
Yeah.
And they all say it. And it's interesting that they know that. Because why else would they know if Udonis is not going out of his way? And again, I don't have any information. I should probably ask Chang how he knows this. But, like, it's been expressed too often that I feel like Udonis is like, hey, listen, I XYZ, just so you know.
Oh, yeah. No, he's very open about wanting a larger role and thinking that he can contribute more than he does as just, like, a spot player throughout the season. But if all, you know, is Cleveland really pitching him on coming there for a chance at a championship and saying, and also you're going to have an extensive role in the rotation all season? Like, I kind of find that hard to believe. So then, like, you know, he's going to kind of circle back, vet minimum deals either way. And, you know, like, that vet minimum contract for, I mean, I guess, I don't know if it counts towards the luxury tax with Cleveland, but, you know, I just think all things equal, he'll end up back in Miami.
You don't think Dan Gilbert would do it just to spite Miami?
Maybe. That's, I mean, the same way Riley's going to push for a meeting with LeBron just to, like, completely send the dirty pants up towards everyone in Ohio.
You think I think.
But I don't see how Dan Gilbert can even make that argument that he'd get more playing time over there, because he certainly wouldn't be able to offer more money than Miami. They're both going to be offering the minimum.
Yeah.
So if his argument is playing time, like, that's clearly BS.
No.
Look at James Jones, man. Like, that guy was there. Look at the minutes he's been getting.
It's all leverage, and Udonis and his camp knows that if Tim Reynolds is talking about Cleveland and tweets that the fan base is going to freak out because it's Cleveland and it's the perfect destination where people can have a little bit of doubt, and that's just enough to make sure that Miami gives them a roster spot.
And it hit its peak when Hayward chose Boston, too. It was like the timing of that was – yeah.
Exactly.
It's obnoxious. I hate that aspect of all this.
And his son with the Instagram post of him. Oh, God, that looks so gross. Udonis photoshopped in a Cleveland jersey was the most gross thing I've ever seen.
That's awful.
At least they put it in the blue jersey, not that pea yellow one.
They're all bad.
The Heat Summer League jersey is better than the Cavs professional jersey.
Facts.
God. I mean, even the team backed away from those yellow jerseys.
They did?
Yeah, they backed out of it. I think after the first season that LeBron came back, they stopped using it.
It's so bad.
Or at least they stopped using it as frequently as they did the first time.
I think the Knicks should go back to the orange.
I don't like that.
No, it's terrible, but I don't think they ever won in it. It's great.
Dude, whatever's going on with the Knicks is, like, we can complain about Riley all we want. Like, not we, but, like, the fan base. But, like, Riley's not offering Tim Hardaway Jr. that kind of money. Like, it's crazy how professional adults are running that franchise.
Well, I think when you hear people criticize the local media about how they approach the organization with questioning, there's not dumpster fire after dumpster fire after dumpster fire taking place over decade spans. So I think that they've built up a little bit of equity with those guys to not go for the jugular on every. I mean, like, it's not like it's just like absolute chaos and panic around the organization. So they're not going to ask some of those questions that people were hoping.
You know what I thought was interesting? Because, and for the audience that maybe not be aware, but, like, when Riley had his off-season presser, a lot of people were being, not a lot, but, like, there was a section of people being critical of the reporting being done on the Heat and how it's very always positive. Most, you know, I would say 95% of the time positively spun, right? Like, and I think that that's true. I think we can all agree that that most of the things that come out on the Heat from the media are positive. And I kind of thought, because at first I was like, yeah, you know, you're right. The media is kind of like, they are kind of gentle with Pat. And I really did think about it, because I did tweet that, and I thought about it. And I thought about the Dolphins. And I thought about, because Armando's not kind with the Dolphins, and Perkins is not. Like, the people that cover the Dolphins are kind of rough with the Dolphins. But I also think that Dolphin reputation has been earned. And Miami's reputation hasn't. And you can maybe, and listen, Leif, and I know you might disagree with me, I'm totally okay with people criticizing what Riley has done lately. I think it's totally fair. I don't think it's perfect. I don't agree with some of the stuff he's done. I can see his vision for it, but I think it's totally fair to be critical of him for not moving Gorn, for not moving. Like, I think it's very fair criticism. I just don't understand what you want the media to do. Hey, Pat, why didn't you trade Gorn? Like, what the hell is he going to say? You know what I mean?
No, I totally agree with you that, you know, the Dolphins and the Marlins and these other teams, they've earned that. And also, when the Heat were 11-30, it's not like Manny Navarro and Chang and these guys are writing articles saying the season's going so good and they're 11-30 and there's still so much to look forward to. Like, they called it how they saw it at that time. But, you know, like, the team – again, showed that it was like heading in the right direction, 30-11. They brought all the guys back, so there wasn't like some mass exodus of players. So I don't know how someone could expect those media guys to go into that press conference and start grilling Riley.
I don't think it's the time to. I think, like, there are chances to grill him. I just didn't think that that I think the only thing worth grilling was Tyler, they did not. I know we're going to make fun of me because it's Tyler. I do think that the Tyler contract needed some more explanation, but what's he going to say? Like, I don't know what kind of journalism that you want Tim Reynolds and Anthony Chang to do.
The other part of this is that, like, I know you said that you don't agree with the moves, and everyone is free to have their opinion on the deals that are made and the moves that are made, and if they like what the Heat are doing or if they don't. Everyone is welcome to that, but it's your opinion of those deals, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it's fact. It's your opinion of the way that the deals happen. So anyone who goes in and poses those questions to the front office who just executed those deals, what do you think that they're going to say? They're obviously going to answer that in a professional way that just kind of that kind of sums up what their vision is for it. I just think that people expect that Riley would get into like a back and forth confrontational, let me explain myself with Anthony Chang.
Yeah.
Like with Anthony Chang. Like, come on. Like, you sit in a room with Riley for 5 minutes.
Oh my God.
And I mean, the guy gets paid massive amounts of money to speak to corporations. And we're thinking about Chang grilling him in a press conference on Wednesday.
Please.
Brian.
Hey guys, it's Anthony Chang from the
Pony. Yeah! That's my producer. Ah, I was waiting for it. I'm so proud of you. Are you smiling?
Chang from the Palm Beach Post.
That guy. Chang versus Riley.
Guys, it's Anthony Chang from the Palm Beach Post.
Heaven Post or
intimidating.
Heaven. Duel one. Let's rock. Anthony Chang, Pipe Riley, Death Battle. Oh, God, that's so funny.
The voice of intimidation.
Yeah. I love Anthony. Anthony Chang has been so good to our show, and Anthony Chang's down with the show, and he's down to laugh at all this. So, Anthony's awesome.
Nice.
The voice of intimidation. Do you guys? And I wanted to get into this. Do you guys think that we're too easy with the Heat? And maybe like, because I know that we've been criticized by a few people that we handle them like we're homers, and like, listen. What do you guys think? Are we like, I'm okay with being called out because I want to be better. Maybe we are.
Look, I'm a homer and I'm always going to come organization standpoint. So that's what you're getting from me. Usually I'm going to talk you into our position. And when I say "are," I'm speaking on behalf of the entire organization from the top down.
Did you give me like a badge, like a pin to put on like a suit? Lifer.
Leif, how often are you hitting your DMs?
Not lately.
I love how that's a question. Alex, are we homers? Like, I don't know. I don't think I am. Like, I've part of my brand is yelling about what I believe to be the worst signing in the history of basketball.
I mean, I had an interview with 790 today, and Beast and Len, when they asked me, they saw me wearing the Hebe polo, they asked me, like, oh, those are a bunch of Heat lifers, right?
Is that our image?
So yeah, dude.
We're the lifers.
My impressions are strong on there with all of
the
sentimental photos and captions. Dude. I
have a question. Is this because of Leif? Like, is it because Leif is attached to our brand?
I think it's because we always have guys like all of us are usually defending the Heat.
Are
like,
we?
When you think about it.
My brand is killing them for Tyler Johnson and calling.
But that's it. But that's it. That's it. The only thing.
No,
organizational that you're against.
We're doing great.
And still no credentials.
Yeah, look at
it's
that.
Not it's not fair. It's not fair that we have the reputation that Hot Hoops should have.
Yeah, you know what? You're right, man. Man, listen.
They said Gordon Hayward signed with Miami.
They had some great articles. Just don't this let that go. Season, I have to say. I mean, like, top-notch stuff.
The best part of the whole Hayward thing was, like, they'd write, like, an article, and Harrison's like, this is our competition. And I was like, Harrison, be nice. They're very nice, Harrison. Be nice. Oh, God. So, man, Alex, they really said that? We're the bunch of lifers. Oh my god, I don't want to be that.
Yeah, they like scoffed at it like in front of my face. I'm like,
really?
You're gonna have to cut me and part ways with me, man. That's the only way that that you're gonna lose that label.
How do we shake this to be I don't know, man. What the hell? Like,
why do you want to shake it? Who cares?
I don't know. I want to be respected.
Look, do you want to win championships or do you want to be a Denver Nugget? That's your choices. What is your choice to be?
Name of the episode.
Was that your?
You know what a Denver Nugget podcast looks like?
That's A+ stuff right there.
What were you saying, Alex?
I thought that was his pitch to UD. UD uses Denver as leverage in every single free agency.
Yeah, so Dwayne too.
Yeah.
They love Heat players.
Did you guys? No, but I mean, but I can't think of any sort of situation, any player contract signed, even if I'm sort of scoffing at it at first and thinking, like, why did that happen? I hate Kelly Olynyk. I really do.
I'm never going
to. I can't stand that guy. Can't stand his face. Can't stand his hair. He's just dirty. And you know what? I slept on it, and I woke up the next day feeling all right.
I hate you.
Like, I did.
That's why you're the man.
I just had the guts. But that's where it is. It doesn't matter what, and bam, and we're all like, who is this? What's happening? And you could easily go down that path, like, oh, what are they doing? Even they don't know what they're doing anymore. And you know what? And you see a video, and you psych yourself into it. So, yes, I absolute homer. Tyler Johnson, great. I totally understand why they did that.
That's a man who knows how to secure his spot in heaven.
Hey man, hey, your question, do you like anime? Huh? Do you like anime?
Nah, that ain't my thing, man.
That's what I thought.
Brad, did you expect that to go, like, in your, like, when you asked TJ that question, did you imagine it going any better than that? Because I can't imagine a better answer.
I thought it would get some retweets. You know what? I would say I was a little scared that he was going to say that he liked it, but I knew he wasn't going to like that.
Oh. You know what? That wouldn't have made it funny.
Oh, it was perfect.
It was.
There's nothing about the situation that would have been better than that. It was beautiful. Nah, I love that guy.
That's not
my Heat lifer.
Yeah, that's what I...
Heat lifer.
You guys really think that deal's movable?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So I don't want to. I was about to say I don't want to get into slandering Tyler Johnson, which is a bull bleep lie because that's all I ever want to do. We do want to debut a new segment. Brian, do you have the imaging ready? Don't play it yet, but do you have it ready?
Yes.
Okay. So basically, what this is because the media is not out here asking Riley tough questions, right? So as you've seen, you know, our own Lefty Leif is our resident organizational shill. He knows what Riley would say. He's a lifer. He's the leader of this bunch of lifers, despite me being the host and the co-founder and the editor and all that. Leif is our lifer leader. And Leif is going to be Pat Riley for this segment. Brian, hit it.
Heat lifer.
That is my least favorite imaging we've ever produced.
Was that a theme song from one of the anime shows you watch?
No. My anime OPs openings are much better than that. Brian, how long did it take you to make that?
10 seconds.
It shows. All right, Leif. All right. Oh, I'm sorry, Pat. I'm sorry, Pat. Pat, how are these deals movable? Who would want any of these players? Who would want Kelly Olynyk, Dion Waiters, an aging James Johnson on, like, why, how are these deals movable for a whale?
That's a great question.
I want to be Chang. Call me Chang.
Now, truthfully, they all are entering or in the prime of their careers. They all are, from a market standpoint, reasonably affordable contracts. They can also be combined easily to get up to a max player salary. And they're players that we hope ascend and end up improving so that the numbers that they're coming in at from a salary perspective, actually they outplay and outperform those numbers. So, you know, if you kind of look at it from that perspective, then you've got a bunch of deals that you can move.
Yeah, but Pat, why did you commit 4 years to Kelly Olynyk? He smells like a hippie. He has stupid hair. He played for the Celtics. Like, why would you do that? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, great question, Coach. So it's important to understand that that the mid-level exception this year was about $8.6 million. And if you look at his year one salary for this offseason, it's $10.6 million. So we actually got him this year for a number slightly above the mid-level, which we feel his talent is right in that range, especially considering the fact that we needed big a stretch big behind Hassan and James Johnson. So we've got a guy we think once we get him in our gym and get him in shape, his skills are going to complement the guys we already have, and we're trying to win right now.
Pat, but did you have to pay 13 milli for mid-20s with limited upside?
Again, as I previously stated, his year one salary is 10.6 million, and then it goes to 12.2 million the next year. So 13 milli is actually inaccurate information. I'd like you to go ahead and check that, and then you can come back to to the press.
The feeling he beat.
Hey, well, listen, Pat. Honestly,
no, but truthfully, Pat. Are you interrupting Pat Riley right now?
Are my credentials revoked?
Get him out of here, Tim Donovan. Get him out. No, but truthfully, we don't know what the unguaranteed parts of the contract are. They're these bonuses that are unlikely to be achieved, and if he doesn't achieve them, then that money's not guaranteed. So we have no knowledge of what those are either. So we're also speaking on contracts that we don't have all the details for.
I feel like this segment was basically just Leif wanted to give his takes on things.
I don't know. Did you expect me to, like, speaking of Pat Riley?
I thought that was an audition.
I thought, yes.
An accomplished.
So, like, little Leif comes in the group chat, and he's like, yo, I got this great idea for a
No. Whoa. I didn't call it no great idea. Slow down now. I approached it with a little more humility.
Ass idea. Let's call it That's So Riley, where you guys ask me tough questions, and I'll be Pat Riley. And I'm like, you know what? Nah, let's give it a try.
Hey, this is the Kelly Olynyk of segments on EP. You're like on the Kelly Olynyk signing.
Leif fed me questions.
O'Reilly.
God.
I didn't even get to the punchline, which the last question was, Pat, is Anthony Chang indeed your puppet?
No, that would be Barry Jackson. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Oh, there you go. O'Reilly. That would have been funnier if after every answer, that's what you play.
Hey, chop it up, man. We can make it happen.
Oh, man, Brian. Look, Brian, you're having a good show today. Proud of you, man. Oh, my God. Oh, you know what? Now that we're very sportsy today, I want to get into my beef with Brian now that we're nearing the end of the program. So after Leif's suggestion, I wanted to... So yesterday I found out, Brian, don't worry, we're not going to get too deep into this topic because you're scared.
I already found the FBI.
Okay. So yesterday I learned of this thing called the deep web, which is apparently this underbelly of the internet where you can hire hitmen, buy all sorts of like drugs and weapons and there's like cannabis message boards and like torture videos. Like, I did not know that this part of the world existed. My sister watched a video about it and was telling me about it, and I became like obsessed with it for like pretty much last 24 hours. About this time yesterday, I learned of the deep web, right? So I have a lot of questions. I'm trying to do journalism. I'm trying to piece things together. And I go to Brian.
Is that where they found Magruder?
What?
That was great.
Hey, I'll endorse a Magruder reference at any moment, so good call.
Oh, my God. So I've been, like, obsessed with this thing for, like, the last 24 hours. And I after Leif's great That's O'Reilly suggestion, I go to Brian, and I was like, dude, I want to talk about the deep web on the pod tomorrow. or today, whatever it is. And Brian's like, absolutely not. I go, but why? And he goes, no, because the FBI is just going to find us and they're going to arrest us. I go, Brian, the FBI is, like, why are you against fun?
Johnny, have you been searching Tyler Johnson on the deep web?
No, but you know what's funny is that, so one of, like, I got interested in, well, like, how does a hitman, like, work? Like, if you were to hire a hitman, how does it work? And I was asking the question, like, what if you want to, like, get a hit on a famous person? Like, how famous do they have to be? And I was actually scared to tweet this because if something happened to Tyler Johnson, I did not want it to be connected to me. People look through my Twitter account and I get, like, arrested, squat, like, bangs my door down, and, like, bang me into
the floor. It's gonna be funny when Brian edits this part out of the podcast.
They're like, presenting all your slanderous tweets in court.
Be like,
and they're like, are you sure
I'm gonna
that
just
you didn't
disappear.
Do this?
Yeah, I'm going to be like, Alf, I'm just going to disappear. No one's going to hear from me. No one's going to answer questions about me. Like, it's just going to – Harrison's going to be hosting the show. Like, he's going to, like, just do the show, pretend like I never existed.
Get swallowed up by the deep web.
I heard Twitter was digging up through there to figure out what they were going to do with McBob.
So
which heat Twitter members do you think spend the most time on the deep web? I go with Sucks or Real Marlins fan.
Real Marlins fan is the one seed.
Definitely. That's where he gets all his videos, is the deep web. We should stay there.
There's probably some creeps too that you wouldn't expect.
Brian, turn off the sound. You were having such a show. Why did you ruin it? It was funny for like 3 seconds.
He's still going.
No, because you know that
right,
if we talk
coming for gas right now.
Can you turn it off?
Running to hide.
I'm gonna hang up on you.
Which Heat player do you think spends most time on the deep web?
Josh Richardson.
Like either this year or last year, I go with Luke Babbitt.
Holding a butcher knife.
It just because every like time you look at him, every time you look at his face, it looks like he's seen some shit.
Yo, hold on. I feel like Luke Babbitt is the guy who always gets played on the internet.
Yes.
He goes on the deep web, and all of a sudden, he loses $300 on his from his bank account.
Where'd all my Bitcoin go?
Honey.
In here.
Oh, you painted the ceiling.
Yep.
Blue.
Feels so much less cooped up, right?
I guess. What's the yellow paint for?
Well,
the floor needs a double line, otherwise it's chaos. Can you hand me that yield sign?
It's hard to be without your bike, so do something easy and protect it with Progressive Motorcycle Insurance. With basic policies as low as $75 a year, you'll be back on the road in no time. Visit Progressive.com to quote today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.